Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is retired Senior Chief Rob Burrows, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And we want to welcome you to our program this morning. And we had such a wonderful weekend last week. We weren't here. Obviously, there was a recording on last week. But we had the barbecue and pancake breakfast down at the Cottonwood Cruise and Car Show. And let me tell you, on Friday evening, there was probably about 2,000 people there. And on Saturday morning, throughout Saturday, there's probably another 3,000 people in the town of Cottonwood. And it was just amazing. You know what? One of the things that's so amazing to me with Cottonwood is that on Friday evening, after having all of the cars and all of the people and, you know, over 2,000 people walking the streets of Cottonwood in that little town, you get out and you walk the street at 11 or 12 o'clock at night, because we're still putting things away and everything else, and the streets were spotless. I mean, there wasn't a piece of trash on the road. There wasn't a piece of trash on the sidewalk. Everything had been picked up. The people in Cottonwood love their community so much that when they get ready to leave, they take any trash that's there along the way. The Chamber of Commerce comes through and they do a final walkthrough and make sure that everything's cleaned up, and the Cottonwood Community Service personnel that are there. The town polices itself. It takes care of itself. And I ended up spending the night there all night because we had all different kinds of kitchen stuff outside, and the tents and on tables and chairs and everything else. And the town was so quiet through the middle of the night. It was just awesome to be able to walk through the town at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning and just see how quiet the community of Cottonwood is. And, it's just a beautiful community. We probably served, almost 1,500 meals between Friday and Saturday. So Friday night we did all of the barbecue with everybody coming through for the cruise and taking care of folks that way. And then Saturday morning we did the pancake breakfast starting at 6 a.m. and we started our barbecue with the pulled pork at about 11 a.m. and we served right on through the entire day. And, it was just a fantastic opportunity for the museum to be out there, to be represented by our staff and personnel, to honor our veterans and our firemen and our police, and to be able to represent those entities with the community. It was a family event. There was family there with all their kids and their babies, and everything was outdoors. There were no issues. There were no fights. There was no roughness going on. And I just have to hand it off to Cottonwood community, that they, when they come together as a community, they come together. It's just like, it's how a community should come together and be able to work together, to be able to have a fantastic function, and then to be able to, police themselves once again, make sure that all the trash is picked up, everything's cleaned up, and that everything's back to the normal way that it should be. And so I just want to say, hats off to the Cottonwood community and to the Cottonwood Chamber and to all of the different organizations in Cottonwood that step up and take care of that community and, to serve, anybody who comes through whenever we have an event, to be able to make that happen. And we wanted to remind you that right around the corner is going to be the Iron Soldier Ride, which is October 3rd. The Iron Soldier Ride will be presented by Yamaha Sea-Doo, Steve McCarley and his crew, and Paulo. And that is a major fundraiser for the Northern California Veterans Museum, but for Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. And every year we have this program. Steve started it. We were gracious enough to be the recipient, Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, to be the recipient of this program. They have a big motorcycle ride. They have entities in the community who support this program, who sponsor it, who raise the money for this. And the money that comes into Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services goes right back out to our veterans that are in need. And so the funding that comes in helps to pay for our meals at Christmas time and Thanksgiving. We hand out full Thanksgiving meals to our veterans and their families that are in need. Full Christmas meals with a ham and all the fixings or turkey at Christmas time for those families that are in need. Families that come to us and they need gifts for their family members. We go ahead and we supply gifts and Christmas gifts and things like that. And then we also this last year we were able to have enough funding to supply meals at Easter also for Easter meals for the military families that were in need. How awesome is it that an organization comes together and allows us to be able to raise these funds and to turn around and to give them right back to our veterans in our need that are in need. And it's not just young veterans, it's older veterans also. We had a situation, and as an example, we had a Korean War veteran that came through. His daughter was a Global War on Terror veteran, and she was killed in a car accident and left three sons behind. Very young, middle-aged, and then a young teenager. And they came to us. They had all of a sudden just received these three boys. They're dealing with the stress of the loss of their daughter, and they were in great need. And they said, they were referred to us. They did not come to us. They were referred to us by another veteran and his spouse. And they said, hey, we know this family that's really suffering right now. They're going through some really tough times. Is there a way that you could help them? And through the funding that we had received through the Iron Soldier Ride, we were able to provide them with a full Christmas meal. We provided them, all of them, with brand new jackets. So the boys had new jackets. The grandparents had brand new coats also. We were able to supply them with necessary gifts, backpacks, things for school, clothing and things like that. Cold weather clothing, gloves and knitted hats, for that Christmas. We were able to really help them and take care of them with the groceries also. And so that's what this program is about. You know, people struggle. Life happens to them and it's out of their hands. It's out of their norm. And they go, what do? We don't either have the funding or we're struggling through the shock of life and they're trying to make things happen. And we are thankful with Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services that we have the funding to be able to step up and to take care of a family that's in need like that without any regard for them having to pay anything back. It is a gift to our men and women who serve our country and to say thank you to them in their time of need. And then our Homeward Bound program is a hand up. It is not a handout. The program is designed to be able to help people who are in need get back on their feet again and to give them a boost and a kickstart and encouragement so they can continue to live their lives and move on and they're not stuck in a deficit where they're now in a hole trying to move on with their life where they just can't, whether it's financially or whether it's emotionally or anything like that. And so we want to remind you that the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services and Silver Star Widows and Veterans Program, nobody makes a wage. This is all a labor of love. So when you see us out working our tails off, and that's what we do, is we work our tails off, putting all these things together, bringing everything together, and being able to take care of those in our community, it literally is a labor of love. Nobody gets paid. There aren't any wages. But it is our way of giving back. And once again, after doing two combat tours in Iraq and being lucky to come home after what we did, this is a second chance to live and to give and to help those that are in need. And, you know, when I first came back from Iraq, I used to ask myself, why am I here? I saw people die all around me, but why am I here? What's the purpose? And I've slowly come to realize, because I'm thick-headed sometimes, that the purpose is the good Lord gave me a chance to help others that were in need. He showed me that my life could have been taken at an instant, at any given time. But he let me live and he gave me the opportunity to come back and to utilize my skills and my opportunity and my experiences to put together an organization to help other men and women who are in need and to be able to move forward in our community to be able to take care of them. And the mission continues every single day. We have people that come to us that are in need, and we stretch our hands out, and we help them any way we can within reason and within our capability. And so when you support us through these programs, this is what happens, and this is how we take care of our community. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up!
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
High Noble Safe Company, formerly known as Cold Steel Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, is having a summer clearance sale. Save big on some of the highest quality safes around. High Noble Safe Company carries High Noble, Browning, and American Security, just to name a few, and features gun safes, home safes, and high security safes with stores in Reading, Roseville, and Petaluma. Delivery, moving, and repair service available. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane.
Put me in the ground. This is my town.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And yes, this is our town. This is our Northern California, Shasta, Tehama, Lassen, Trinity. Siskiyou counties are the areas that Homeward Bound covers, along with the museum throughout Northern California. And we're proud of our community. We're proud of the opportunity to serve in our community. And one of the things I'd like to remind people is that we in the military sent all over the world to help people that we don't know. That's what the Seabees do. We're sent everywhere around the world with compassion for others. We fight, we build it for people through construction and through peace. And that's what that's our motto here in our own community is to, we go all around the world to help other people, but shouldn't we come home and help those that are our neighbors? Shouldn't we help those that live around us that are in need? To know somebody that's in need and not to help them. Too much is given, much is required. And so that's what we do when we have that opportunity. It's a part of the camaraderie that we learn when we're in the service. That you take care of each other and you watch each other's six so that they can watch your six when things get tough, things get rough. And that's why it's so important for us to take care of our community, because it seems like the rest of the world is going to hell in a handbasket, but we have to make sure we take care of our own homes, our own community, our own neighbors, our own families, because if we don't do it, we won't have anything. And so that's why it's so important for us to continue to take care of our locals here in our community, and to honor those, especially to honor those who have served our country, put their lives on the line, made that sacrifice, who have come home or brought their buddies home in body bags under a flag. And that's why we need to continue to remind each other, hey, we have a mission to do in our community. Just because we come back from overseas or we come back from X amount of days in duty or years in duty, the mission doesn't stop. We continue to work with each other, can take care of each other, and continue to move forward. My guest this morning, I have two guests this morning, and Mike Huber, Estate Granite. Mike, I want to welcome you, and you have your son here, who is Logan. Logan is home from United States Navy right now. He's on leave, and so it's an opportunity for us to be able to have you here this morning. We want to talk about your service, and you have two sons in the military, one in the Navy, one in the Army.
Yes, sir.
And so we want to talk a little bit about your family and what they're doing and what's going on. And we want to talk about the influence of the military in your life when you joined the Army as a young man and how that has kind of shaped your life where you are right now in your life and how it obviously has influenced your sons and your family.
Sure. Well, Rob, thanks for having me this morning. It's an honor to be here. And, you know, I'm actually here in a capacity of Trinity Touring Club. So we are an autocross organization here that decided to donate our proceeds this year to your organization, the Northern California Veterans Cemetery and
Museum.
The museum. And what you guys are doing. And so over the next 2 months, our next two weekends that we're going to be doing, and we do it down at Shasta Speedway in the parking lot, and it's autocross, and it's anyone can come down and join. It's relatively cheap for what you get to do. And, but we are an organization of just, people just encouraging people to drive safely, and to learn your vehicle so that you don't do something dumb out in the road, especially young kids. We try to encourage the youngsters to come out, learn the ability of a car and get that experience. And, that translates into a lot of things. But that's my capacity today is we are donating, all of our proceeds from our, contributions for the next couple, races to the end of the season in October. And then, that will be presented to you and your organization.
Well, we just want to say thank you very much for that opportunity. We, you know, once again, we're a grassroots organization, mm-hmm. and money in, money out. Yes. If we don't have the funds coming in, we can't support our programs going back out.
Exactly.
And so, when someone steps up like that to help be a part of the solution and not part of the problem, we're very grateful for that. So thank you once again for choosing, the Northern California Veterans Museum.
Well, I'm new to the club. I mean, relatively 2-3 years, but, you know, I think the biggest thing is that we, as a community, we have fun, you know, and if we have fun, let's give back, you know, and that's why I'm here too, is I've been blessed, you know, and I have an incredible life, but I gotta give back, and that's, I'm involved in a lot of other things, that I'm excited about, that kind of takes it to the next level. And it's called a thing called Vet Motorsports, where you actually help disabled vets get into racing. And so that's a new program that they've just started. You can see some of the stuff. It's vetmotorsports.org. And it's just it's a cool organization I want to get involved with, because when you are into racing, you want to bring other people around. And so it's kind of my side passion, you know. Sure. So, but if you can take that and use it and help veterans and have fun, you know, that's what I want to do. Or at least that's, you know, one little aspect of my racing.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I used to race with my brother at Saga Speedway. We used to do figure eight racing out there, and also
figure eight. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And enduros. We used to race enduros out there, and it's you know, when you're going 100 miles an hour plus with your hair on fire, and somebody's right on your tail, and they're pushing you, and you're pushing them. I mean, there's that's why a lot of guys do it. I mean, it's just an e-ticket ride, and so well,
as you know, I mean, it's and autocross is cool because it's only like a 60-second lap. So it's like this quick adrenaline rush, and it's over, you know. And you're not out there for an intense, but if you hit a cone, it's minus a second off your time.
Wow.
So the whole goal is to go out, and people can come down and watch.
I was going to say, but it's a spectator sport.
Yeah. They can come right to the gate. You're 25 feet away from the cars flying by you because they're in the parking lot, contained, but you can sit from the outside and watch.
Right.
And we've had you know, people come down and food trucks and stuff during the day. I don't know if we're going to do that this next, but we are having our last day on Sunday. I'm going to tell you the address or the time, but I think it's the 23rd. So we have one next weekend, the 25th, 26th, and then I think it's the 11th, the 12th. Actually.
And that's Shasta Speedway at the fairgrounds,
but in the parking lot,
right? Not in the grandstand.
Yeah, so you have to go to the north side, and
so they park in the very back.
Yeah,
is that how they get in there?
Yeah, there's a little side road, so you go in there, and there's a big parking lot, and then the whole gated portion where the track is all contained, and that's where we have all of our timing, and you know, we do everything. Everything's safety first, and then COVID was a little hard getting out there.
Sure.
But now we've kind of gotten through that, and it's a great spectator sport, and you're social distancing.
I was saying, it's all outside. There's one person in the car. You shouldn't have to wear a mask.
And since COVID, we have gotten very busy, which is great because we have more spectators, more people to come out and contribute. So have fun.
Do you guys race in the rain?
Yes.
Oh, so that would be really exciting.
Yeah. Well, when we have our point races, they go on scheduled rain or shine. Usually that's only, like, we had one in April, and that was very interesting.
So do you have kids come out with their mom and dad's Mercedes, and they race their mom and dad's Mercedes out there with them knowing it?
Oh, well, no, their parents are usually there. We encourage that, so who owns the car?
Their Cadillac Escalade up, they're going full bore.
Absolutely, so. But we, you know, that's just a side thing of what I do. And, but it is one of those things that I want to, help, you know, and I'm always with, anyone that I know that's, you know, wants to get out there, I'll always help you out. So it's just fun to, you know, I take it to an extreme, but you can just come out with, we had a guy come in with a panel van.
Really?
Oh yeah, like a work truck, and he was crushing it, you know, and just
that's
bring what
he
you got.
It
doesn't
way all
matter.
Day.
You know,
it's
so
like
you
driving
learn.
A UPS truck through the streets, you know.
These are little small ones.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, we're going to be coming up on a break here in just a minute, but how many drivers do you usually have during a day, during one of your sessions?
Well, so we have a morning session and afternoon session. So you normally just do one or the other. And then there's two sessions and both. So I think we can go up to 30 and 30. So 60 in a day.
And that's a lot of driving.
Oh, that's a lot. But remember, it goes really fast.
Right.
So one gets up, goes, while he finishes, he's already gone. So it's just a constant flow, but they're never on the track same time because it's all time, just one lap in and out.
Do they come back and do multiple laps at any given time?
So then you come back and
try to
get back in line. Yeah, so that's what's cool is by the fourth time, you better have the track nailed down.
Right. Or you're just not going to get it.
But every track is, every time we go out there, it's a different track. It's not like we race the same track.
Oh, so you change the configuration
every time.
All the time.
So everyone doesn't have
advantage.
It's a new track to everyone.
Right.
So that's what makes it is interesting is it hones your skills because you're not doing the same thing over and over again like I do at Thunder Hill. That's the same course. So you get real familiar with that.
Right.
But,
yeah, that's a big course there.
Yes.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning is Mike Huber and his son, Logan Huber, and we'll be right back.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Your yard looks great. I need to add a refreshed look to my landscape. Where did you get your plants?
At Goldleaf Nursery. You know, they reopened. And check this out. The nursery is now packed with a wide assortment of shrubs and trees, and they're open Wednesday through Saturday.
Oh, I love that place.
Hey, where are you going?
Goldleaf Nursery.
It's Monday. They're open Wednesday through Saturday. Just in time for the fall sale.
Goldleaf Nursery is open, and they're open 8 to 5 Wednesday through Saturday. They are fully stocked with shade trees, drought-resistant trees, and don't forget about the crepe myrtles and so much more. Remember, they're open Wednesday through Saturday, and they're located at 6186 Churn Creek Road across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course, quarter mile off Airport Road. Check maps at goldleafnursery.com. Give them a call at 365-5383. Goldleaf Nursery, 365-5383. And online at goldleafnursery.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is the safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find a register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Income-eligible renters impacted by COVID-19 can now get 100% of their past due rent and utility bills paid through the California COVID-19 Rent Relief Program. Landlords with tenants who haven't paid rent because of COVID-19 are eligible for 100% reimbursement too. The application is fast, your information is private, and you won't be asked about citizenship. Apply at housingiskey.com before eviction protections end on September 30th. Brought to you by the California Department of Housing and Community Development.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and once again our guest this morning is Mike Huber with Estate Granite and his son, Logan Huber, who is on home from leave from the United States Navy, and welcome again this morning. And Mike, we're going to talk a little bit about your Army experience. You went right into the Army right out of high school. Talk a little bit about your experiences. That was during the Reagan administration back at that time.
Yes, this was...
1984. I actually signed up in 83, delayed entry. There was about five of us that actually all went in the same time. Like, you know.
And that's, buddies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Buddy program, you know. So we all went in the Army. I'm still in one of them, my best friend, who actually was the one who got me in. He passed away about 20 years ago. And the interesting thing is, just a little side note, was his son is in the nuclear program. And
okay.
Did help, you know, at least it kind of helped him get into that, steer that right direction, getting into the program. And, which is kind of a unique thing. But anyway, grew up in Whitmore, had these five friends. We all went in the Army, all did different MOSs. One of them stayed in. He was a smart one. He became a helicopter pilot and retired and did his thing. Saw a lot of action, but you
sure.
know. But I was only in it for 3 years. You know, I did it to get the college. You know, I was like, well, I'm going to go in for 3 years, get my college and get out.
Sure.
And so I kind of had a plan. I went to basic in South Carolina, which is where my other son Landon went to. So when I went back and visited him for graduation, it was like, ah, homecoming. Yes, I remember this place
right.
a long time ago.
Good things and bad things.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't changed much either. and then I went, I got stationed at my AAT thing. You know, I went to school and they're like, hey, you're going to stay here. I became the promotion and awards clerk. I got to know a lot of good people. I became an E4 promotable in 18 months.
Wow.
Which is the earliest you could do it.
Right.
Because I was the awards clerk. So
well, of course. See how that works?
Yeah.
That's like a YN or a PN. And an eight, well, they don't even have those rates
well,
longer.
Well, it was just it was an interesting thing. So, and then I wanted to go overseas. And then they sent me to Fort Polk, Louisiana. And I was like, okay. So I got stationed at an MI battalion at Fort Polk my last year. And that really solidified me going, I'm getting out. Because I'm like, if there's a hell on earth, it's Fort Polk.
There's got to be another place besides this place.
Yes. It was bad. But, you know, it was a great experience. Actually got into some racing there on the side. I did a little street racing back in the day. And that was, you know, because I was involved in it. But it was just, you know, you could kind of do that back then.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, it was, you could do lots of things when yeah. we were just out of high school.
Yeah.
When we were out of high school.
Yeah. And I wasn't from Louisiana, so I didn't care. So, but the, it was a great experience, but I learned a lot there. And funny thing there, I was like I was the mail clerk. I was the ammo guy because, you know, they trusted me. So I had the clearance, and then I worked. So everyone, you got to know a lot of people.
Well, sure. And then you know, everybody shows up on your door going,
oh, yeah.
Hey, buddy, well,
yeah.
you have this.
Yeah. So
what can we do about that?
It was, you know, there again, my experience was, I was blessed. I had a great experience, learned a lot, got out, went to Shasta College, did my 2 years out there. Was involved in track, and so I liked doing the physical aspect. I applied for the Army track team, actually, because I was a high jumper, and they didn't pick me. But
we're jumping high enough, huh?
Yeah, couldn't quite get over 6'8". I was a little tall. But I did get out of the Army, went to school, went to work for my dad. I always had that entrepreneurial spirit. You know, I grew up in Whitmore, so I was on a ranch. You know, I had chores, and you know, I was the only kid. So,
so you got all the chores.
I had all the chores.
You had all the chores.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you see that, son? You you got it off easy. but it was, you know, the military. It's still to this day. I mean, it is. I'm so blessed that. All the benefits and all the things you get afterwards too. I mean that the help, you know, if you need it, you know, and it's I haven't, you know, the medical and just other things. It's I look at my sons and I'm like, you guys are set for life because you made a decision and it really got you springboarded, you know, and I think
right.
that's what it does. You commit to a time and it really helps, you know, obviously they grow up right in front of your eyes, but
life is just happens way too fast.
Way too fast.
Yeah.
And at least if you get a good springboard, and I think that's what it is. It's just, you know, it's a great, you know, honor to do that. And both of my sons, especially, you know, have made the decision on their own. I didn't influence them. It was the weirdest thing, but maybe I did subliminally. But this was 100% their decision, and, you know, they knew I would support them, but.
Well, they had heard all of your different experiences and things like that, and then they weighed out where they wanted to go, and they made those decisions based on where you've been and what you've seen with your experience and with your clearances and different things like that. What are some of your thoughts? And I don't want to get into a political aspect of this, but I mean, what are some of your thoughts about what's taking place in Afghanistan right now?
Well, I'm very tied to that.
You're patriotic and you're
my other son almost was over in that. And so he should have been. He just didn't get vaccinated at that particular time, and so he didn't go.
So it was a vaccination issue?
Yeah. But he, you know, so that's changing. But I guess that's the biggest thing. If we have science, why do we have political science? Why is the political science now taking over and becoming everything? It's not, you know, it's all for political reasons.
And it comes across to me that political science is not common sense.
Yeah, right.
It's political.
Yes.
It's one side or the other, but never about. When you serve in the military, you serve 100% for 100 Americans, 100% of the Americans. Mm-hmm. You don't serve for any particular color. You don't serve for any particular brand or political entity. You serve because you're serving the United States of America and the Americans who live here, and not because of one entity or the other.
Exactly.
And so that's one of the things that's always you know, when we were in Iraq. And we were taking enemy fire, and we weren't there for the Democrats, we weren't there for the Republicans, we were there for our families, we were there for our buddies, we were there for our nation. And there was times, and I'll be honest with you, there was times when we came back from missions where we were lucky to come home alive.
Yeah.
And you stop and you think, what are we putting our lives on the line for? And does anybody really appreciate it? Because you come back and you're exhausted. You're just lucky to have your man with you. I was a combat commander, so I had 25 man team, and you're lucky to bring every man back with you. And then you go, okay, we're here because we have a job to do. We're here because we're up against an enemy, and we know who the enemy is. At that time, we knew who our enemy was and what we were, the factions were. But there's always that thought in your mind, okay. If we lose a life, if we lose a life and I have to write a letter home to that wife or that mother or that daughter or that family entity who says, your son died on my watch, how is it that I'm going to be portraying that? How am I going to deal with that the rest of my life? You know, officers go through certain officer training to say, okay, if you make certain decisions and you lose lives, that's part of the game or that's part of your position. But as a chief petty officer, I was never given that information. I was never trained that way. I was given a team, and you go do your job, and you come back, and if something happens, you deal with it. But I was never given the formal training to how to deal with that. That was one of the things that I really struggled with, is if I lose one of my team members, how am I personally going to deal with that the rest of my life? Because we did everything we could to do the best that we could so we could come home, and we did. But there was times when it was so close, I mean, hair splitting close, coming back home, that it was just, you know, and then that was part of the PTSD, is dealing with all of those what ifs that are actually realities that didn't happen, but they're all around you all the time.
Yeah, there shouldn't be any accepted casualties, you know, and you know, I know when my son was potentially going in, I mean, they knew they were going to lose so many people. And so, like, really, you go into this knowing, oh, we're gonna lose, you know, up to 10 people or two birds. Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, what 10? Throw the dice.
Yeah.
Well, in my book, there was zero tolerance that we weren't gonna lose anybody. Right. We were gonna do everything we could to make sure that did not happen.
No man left behind.
And so we followed every protocol. We followed every instinct. You know, my men would say, hey, what about this? What about that? And I listened to them because every one of them had a different experience to offer. And I knew enough at my age, because I was there at 40 at my first tour and 44 at my second tour, that if there's somebody that has more wisdom than me, I need to listen to that, and we need to shoot from that hip instead of from my own.
Yeah, and it should always be a clear and defined mission. Like, this is what we're doing. Not, well, we'll go in there and, you know, that's what it seems like today. Like, there's no leadership. Nobody really wanting to be accountable or take credit or not take credit. So, Yeah, that's the political side.
Well, my men knew that the buck stopped with me.
Yeah.
And when we left the wire, it was my responsibility until we got back in the wire again. So and I held that responsibility.
Yeah.
I was very true and dear to my heart. And they needed to know that I supported them so that I could have that support from them back for me.
Right.
Because that's what it took. Mm-hmm. I knew that they covered my back the entire time, and I was up front with them from the very beginning.
Yeah.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Spring savings now at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free, or buy 10 and get 3 free. Spring on over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash. Car wash coupons are a great gift or for your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash next to Dutch Bros at the corner of Market and Eureka Way, downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's keep it 100. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bow to nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
Seasons Restaurant, located inside Wind River Resort and Casino, just got happier with outstanding appetizers. Stop by Thursday through Sunday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. to enjoy pulled pork fries, coconut shrimp, Southwest quesadillas, and so much more. Your taste buds will be happier at Seasons. Mimosas are not just for brunch. Come try Seasons Tableside Bubbles and Berries Mimosa Bar, delivered right to your table. Thursday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., only $15. Bubbles are better at the river. See WindRiver.com for more details.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
He said, Mama, I know you have a lot of plans for me. College in the fall, hey, I'm almost 18. I've been doing lots of thinking about a lot of stuff. Went down to the recruiter today and I signed up. If not there, then where? If not now, then when? If not this, then what else can I defend? Being gone and being scared, what else can I do? If not me, Mama, if not me, then who? He's upstairs shaving, his clothes are starched and pressed. I'm down here praying, my mind is in a mess. I ask where he got these crazy ideas anyway. He just smiles and says, it's the way that I was raised. And if not there, then where? If not now, then when? If not this, then what else can I defend? Being gone and being scared. What else can I do? If not.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And our guest this morning is Mike Huber with the State Granite and his son Logan. Huber is here with us this morning. He's on home leave from the United States Navy. And I kind of played that song for you, Logan, because, you know, as our younger generation steps up to the plate and they sign on the dotted line and they serve in the military, doesn't matter which branch, that's a dedication of your life to those tasks. And the question always comes back is, what was one of your motivators in your life that kind of pressed you in that direction to make that decision? And then also, what caused you to be able to or to want to go into the particular rate that you chose, which is nuclear? Yep. And so once again, I want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for serving our country. And thank you for doing what you're doing. This is a tough time in our nation right now. I was listening to some other people talk, and they said, you know, if my son was out right now, I wouldn't recommend that he went in the military because of everything that's going on. And I would say that that's wrong. I would say that if you have a son or a daughter that's serving, that wants, is thinking about going to the military, that you encourage them, because we need young people with the heart of our nation, with the love of our country, with the reason to stand behind that flag, that are willing to step and say, I love this country, I love my family enough to where I want to serve my country in the United States military. I did 23 years, and when I was in, when Clinton came in, people say, you know what, I am not going to serve this Clinton guy, and they got out. And when Obama came in, they said, I'm not going to serve Obama, I'm going to get out. Well, when I signed on the dotted line, it was to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. It wasn't a president, it wasn't to support any particular president or leadership or anything else. It was the ideals of this nation and what this nation stands for. And so I would continue to encourage any of our men, young men and women who want to serve this nation. You are the next generation that will make a difference. You are the ones that will carry that ball and make the decision, yes, I want to go left, or I want to go right, or I want to stay in the center. But you will have that capability. Someday you will make a chief, and if you're staying long enough, and you'll be making those decisions as a chief petty officer to mold and guide other young sailors that are coming along the ranks. And in the meantime, you're going to learn all the aspects and the training capability to do what you're going to do, to be a professional and a subject matter expert with what you're going to be doing. But you have the capability to be strong, to be courageous, and to set the example for others as you move forward. And you'll be able to influence individuals' lives in a positive manner as you move forward. I mean, your dad's already set the example. He's that way in the community. He was that way when he served our nation in the military. And so you have those entities already in your mindset: honor, courage, and commitment. Those are the mainstay of the Navy. And so I just wanted to say thank you once again for being here this morning. You just got out of nuke school, 18 months, right?
Correct.
18 months of nuke school. Tell us a little bit about why you went in the Navy and a little bit about your boot camp, if there were some experiences there, and then why you chose the nuke rate.
So I joined, I think I went to the recruiter station about 2 years ago this month. I think the biggest thing that motivated me to join was I wasn't sure exactly what career field I wanted to do for my future, and I knew military was a great way to step from high school and give me that responsibility and learn how to be a leader. And I didn't want to – I saw some kids that had graduated before me that were going to Shasta College or just working, and they weren't really doing anything with their life. And I was like, I don't want to be that – I don't want to be that kid. So I called the recruiter station, and they had – contacted me multiple times because my ASVAB score was through the roof.
Right.
And
yeah, it has to be for Nuke. Yeah.
Automatic wall for Nuke. So it was like, oh, you want to do? Okay, go ahead.
Right. And there's perks for being Nuke programmed too.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so that's the big thing that was a deciding factor, is that they told me I qualified, and the rank for Nukes, we make E5 in 2 years, a bunch of bonuses, and I was like, rank and money, that sounds good to me.
Right.
So
as of today, have they fulfilled their commitment?
Yes.
So it is a struggle.
And you have fulfilled your commitment to that too.
A lot of times you come out of boot camp as an E-nothing, and it takes you forever to get to be an E-something.
Yes.
So, you know, coming out and then going right into a leadership position for E-5, I mean, as a second-class petty officer, I mean, that's a feat by itself to give you that opportunity, and then along with your capability as your Nuke rate.
Yep.
And I think that the Navy, I mean, I know when we were looking at it, he was deciding, I was like, it is such an incredible opportunity, because these, you know, being someone like him, he probably would have went on to college, been in debt, still working on his degree, where he went in and went to school for the last 18 months and crushed it. But that was a lot of work, but he got rewarded.
Well, if he went to college, it'd be a lot of work.
Well, yeah, but he was getting paid.
Right.
And his room and board was paid. Like, he had no bills. Like, so not very many.
Too.
So in order to go to that program, you've got to be really stress-free. You know, nothing worried, just get through it. And sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder, son, but I'm proud of you for doing that.
Go ahead, Logan. Tell us a little bit more about as you're getting ready to go to boot camp and going to your A school.
So boot camps, it's kind of that thing where everyone's scared of, but at least my experience, once you get there, the first few, like the first week during P days, it's new, it's weird. Everyone's nervous, doesn't know what they're supposed to be doing. But once you get through P days, you kind of like understand what you're expected of in boot camp. And then after that point, it's just kind of you're doing this most of the same things every day, so it gets easier. And then once it gets towards the end, all your RDCs and everyone in charge of you, they kind of like pull the reins off and are like, all right, you're going to be a sailor. We're going to treat you like a sailor and try to be your friend. And then that kind of really helps your transition from coming to boot camp and then going to your A school or your schooling afterwards.
So there's nothing like getting issued your dress blues and putting your dress blues on for your first inspection.
So the inspections are definitely one of the scarier things, just because it has to be perfect every single time, or your bunk inspections. Those ones are scary because if you fail one or two, you get asthma'd, which so you go back a week, and that's the scariest thing about boot camp, because everyone wants to get through the first time. No one wants to be there longer than they have to be.
Right.
But
yeah, especially where it was. In the time of year.
What time of the year were you there at Great Lakes?
So I left for boot camp January 15th.
Oh.
So I think somewhere around February it had reached -2 degrees.
When the wind was blowing 100 miles an hour?
Yep. Yeah, and they don't stop. You still have to go outside, march in the snow, do everything.
So that's quite a factor coming from Redding, California. We're taught, and you never have any snow hardly ever at all. And then all of a sudden now you're at -degrees, yeah, wind blowing, and you're trying to listen and do your job and not freeze to death. And, you know, I mean, but that's all part of that training. That's all part of that experience.
Yep.
Cold weather.
So if you weren't there and you hadn't gone through that, then you wouldn't be able to experience that when you're standing and watch on top of the deck and it's the wind's blowing 100 miles an hour and it's 20 degrees outside on top of that carrier.
Yeah.
So where did you go to after that?
After boot camp, I went to A school. That was in Charleston, South Carolina. A school, it's being in the nuclear field, A school is kind of, there's three different rates, electricians, electric technicians, then mechanics. You kind of get to learn your specific rate, so I got to learn what it's like to be a mechanic. That lasts about 4 months. After A school, that's when you get to learn about all the nuclear side to my job. definitely the harder school, where it's the considered the filter school. So
hold that thought right there. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll go back into that Duke part of your A school.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
I'm Jason Walker. Advisors at the Food and Drug Administration rejecting recommending widespread use of a third dose of the Pfizer vaccine.
The vote was 16-2 against three doses, a setback for the White House. Advisor Dr. Michael Carilla says they need more data.
We need to target the boosters right now, specifically to the people who are likely to be at high risk, and it's an older population, it's immunocompromised.
And the advisors later voted to recommend the extra dose to those people. Advisor Dr. Amanda Cohn at the CDC says the focus should stay on two doses.
It is clear that the unvaccinated are driving transmission.
The Biden administration was hoping for the three-dose recommendation to shore up protection from the Delta variant. Ed Donahue, Washington.
The Afghan survivors of a U.S. drone strike that killed 10 members of their family now say an apology from the U.S. is, quote, not enough. Also at townhall.com, tense situation in California. Crews there trying to keep wildfires away from the groves of the famous sequoia trees.
Wildfires have made it to at least four groves of the ancient sequoias, some 2,000 years old and 200 feet in height. Colony Fire spokesperson Rebecca Patterson says some of the oldest and most well-known sequoias are being wrapped in a fire-retardant blanket.
Structural wrap, which is typically used to protect buildings from the possibility of fire, around the bases of giant sequoia trees.
She says that includes the best known of the giant trees.
The General Sherman tree, which is the largest living tree in the world.
The fire is about a mile from the giant forest. Officials don't know yet the extent of damage caused to the other groves, which are in remote, hard-to-reach areas.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue.
Olive got some skin issues. He gets really going and scratching.
Excessive shedding, a lot of just scratching and itching.
Digging, scratching, and itching, and biting. On top of that, he was starting to get black buildup in his ears.
DinoVite.com.
I just heard the DinoVite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
We started DinoVite, and in our first stock, we noticed a difference, especially with the shedding.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
We've got four dogs, all different ages, all different sizes, and they've all just responded really well to the DinoVite, and they all love it.
We will be using DinoVite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
We order our DinoVite from DinoVite.com. DinoVite.com.
One of the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach former President Donald Trump announcing he will not seek re-election next year in Ohio.
Representative Anthony Gonzalez, a former NFL player with a once bright political future, cited his two young children for his decision and noted, quote, the chaotic political environment that currently infects our country. Gonzalez said in a statement, while my desire to build a fuller family life is at the heart of my decision, it is also true that the current state of our politics is a significant factor in my decisions. The Ohio Republican Party censured Gonzalez in May for voting in February to impeach former President Trump. Gonzalez has stood by his impeachment vote in the face of fierce pushback from his party's conservative wing. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Wall Street numbers Friday, Dow Industrials lost 166 points, closing the week at 34,584. NASDAQ was down 137. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A former high school student convicted in a 2019 shooting at a Denver area high school has been sentenced.
The student, now 20, was convicted in June of 46 charges, including first-degree murder and the death of an 18-year-old senior hailed as a hero for trying to stop the attack on a classroom at the school south of Denver. The judge Friday issued a sentence of life in prison without parole, telling the defendant he had shown no remorse and had failed to help a devastated community understand his actions. The judge added hundreds of years of prison time to the life sentence for multiple charges of attempted murder and other counts. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
In Minnesota, the state Supreme Court ruling voters in Minneapolis may decide on whether to abolish the police department in an upcoming election. State Supreme Court overturning a lower court ruling that rejected ballot language for not describing the measure's effects. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expression. Senior Chief Rob Burrows here, retired from United States Navy Seabees. And our guest this morning is Mike Huber with the State Granted and his son Logan, who is a MMN, Third Class Petty Officer, Machinist Mate Nuclear, Third Class Petty Officer, United States Navy, active duty right now. He's on home, at home on leave. And good morning, both of you. And we've been talking with Logan this morning about just coming out of boot camp and talking about getting ready to go into his A school for nuclear tech. And good morning again, and thank you for being here this morning. I know sometimes we get some young active duty guys and they're afraid to come in and talk and whatever else. And I think it's great that you decided to come in this morning and share some of your experiences. People do not know what our active duty personnel are going through right now. And so it's very important, I think, that as you share your experience, because you're in right now and you talk with people, you are a snapshot of what the United States Navy is doing right now across the world and here in our own communities as you're going through school and preparing to go to your duty station. And I think that with all of the different things that are taking place in the military and the hierarchy with officers, and it seems like there's so many other issues that are failures in our society. But at the ground level where you are at right now, you are being successful, you're being strong, you're going through your schools, you're preparing for your duty station, you've got a fresh outlook, a good attitude, and we want you to share some more of that with us as we move forward through the program, because people need to hear that. They need to hear that confidence, and they need to know that, you know, the honor, courage, and commitment that is part of the Navy heritage and what we project as sailors and senior enlisted and officers, how important that is. And even for myself, even though I'm retired out of the Navy, that honor, courage, and commitment doesn't go away. It continues to be a part of my life in our community. It continues to be one of the moral compass guidelines that I use as we move forward to operate in our home and in our lives. And that will be the same for you as you move through your career and you finally retire out someday, whenever that might be.
Yep.
So let's talk about your A school.
All right. So talking about it again, A school was our first introduction to the nuclear pipeline. We got to learn our in-rate career field. So for me, it was being a machinist mate. As machinist mates, we kind of learned about all the tools we'd be using, valves, oil purifier, just everything that runs an engine room. Not in too much detail, but just the basics so you have a good understanding before you transition into power school and prototype. And
so mechanic trade is a good, you can use that anywhere the rest of your life.
Yep.
So my rate was a CM. So I was a construction mechanic. So we worked on everything from small engines to bulldozers. And so, nuts and bolts are nuts and bolts. And the theory behind that and where they go is what changes. But the basics are the same and you can carry that with you anywhere in your life as you move forward.
Yep. So that's what, A school is all about, which is kind of learning the basics of, mechanics and, they really harp on like all the equipment that we'll be using once we get to our boats, and how to tear it apart and put it back together. And then going from A school, we transitioned to power school, and that's where you kind of not forget, but you kind of set aside what you learned in A school and then learn about the nuclear side and also the other rates, because as nukes, since our job is so intense and stressful, they expect us to understand what the other jobs are doing.
Sure.
So that's kind of what power school introduced us to. We got to do nuclear physics, kind of all the actual systems that we'd be working on, learning the ins and outs of them. Kind of understanding how nuclear power actually works, and then mechanics, we kind of take how that works and how it affects the engine room and our steam plant, and pretty much how we spin our turbines, how we produce power, and pretty much make the ship go.
So they talk about the father of nuclear, the nuclear program. Says that was Admiral Rickover, wasn't it?
Yep. Admiral Rickover. Definitely. During the nuke program, you'll hear his name everywhere.
Because he was the father of the nukes.
Yeah, the actual schoolhouse that we're in is called the Rickover, so you hear that name every day. And then not to make it sound like the nuke program wasn't hard, but no one really understands like what some of the actual students are going through. They just see it from the outside, but it may not be the most physical job ever, but when it comes to your mental health, it's definitely stressful, and that's what breaks most kids during the nuke program, is just they're expected to learn so much information in such a short amount of time.
Right.
And then having that put on a grade scale, it's really, like, it affects their, like, mental state, because they see, like, oh, I just spent all this time learning this, and then I get a bad grade, and then just kind of some people kind of get that snowball effect where they start to go bad, and it just gets worse and worse and worse until they finally break. But that's mainly for A school and power school. And then our final portion, which I just finished in August, is prototype. And that's one where you kind of get to take all the information you learned and get to have a little fun, because you get to actually go down on the submarines and stand watch and do your job of sorts with an over-instruct watching you the whole time, but you get to actually apply your knowledge, and it's definitely an interesting experience in prototype, but I would say the most rewarding is as you're going through prototype, towards the end, you get to the point where you're not really learning anything as much, but more of you're understanding it and you're taking your past knowledge and, oh, like, I've learned this thing and I haven't talked about this, but because I've learned so much, I kind of understand how that works. And they harp on understanding the plant all together and how one thing affects another, and it's really fun to.
For every action, there's opposite and equal reaction.
Yep, it's really fun to see just how much you've learned and be, wow, this is, I've learned a lot in this program.
Things start to click.
Yep.
So this is why I learned this. Now I understand why this is so important. All these different things start to meld and come together. We're on a break right now. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest is Logan Huber, United States Navy, Machinist Mate Nuclear. We'll be right back.
Your yard looks great. I need to add a refreshed look to my landscape. Where did you get your plants?
At Gold Leaf Nursery. You know, they reopened. And check this out. The nursery is now packed with a wide assortment of shrubs and trees, and they're open Wednesday through Saturday.
Oh, I love that place.
Hey, where are you going?
Gold Leaf Nursery.
It's Monday. They're open Wednesday through Saturday. Just in time for the fall sale.
Gold Leaf Nursery is open, and they're open 8 to 5 Wednesday through Saturday. They are fully stocked with shade trees, drought-resistant trees, and don't forget about the crepe myrtles and so much more. Remember, they're open Wednesday through Saturday, and they're located at 6186 Churn Creek Road across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course, quarter mile off Airport Road. Check maps at goldleafnursery.com. Give them a call at 365-5383. Gold Leaf Nursery, 365-5383. And online at goldleafnursery.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's the glory, 100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the pledge of allegiance on the 4th of July. It's some handwritten letters from home. It's some sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, lead out. The swamps of Louisiana, to the golden coast of California, Uncle Sam's the only family he's got. His purple heartbeat won't stop, and his 18th birthday was the day he was born. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, lay down his life. Mr. Red, White, and Blue.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest this morning is Logan Huber, Machinist Mate Nuclear's third-class petty officer. He's on home on leave right now, active duty, United States Navy, and the son of Mike Huber with the State Granite. And, Mike, I can see why you're so proud of your son. I mean, it's just, you know, be able to go through and perform 18 months of schooling and then graduate. If you ask me, any kind of graduation from Rig School is honors, because of what takes place, what has to be done, what the information that you need to know, the capability that you bring out of coming out of school because you've passed those objectives that were set before you. And so I want to just congratulate you, for passing, Nuke School, for being able to come out of that. You are going to be holding one of the, whether anybody else calls it that, I would call it one of the highest positions in the United States Navy, because it's such a critical position for you to be running a nuclear system, whether it be on a submarine or on a ship. The United States Navy has never had a nuclear accident, and it's because people like yourself go through your school, they're taught correctly, they're held accountable to high, high standards, and then you continue to maintain that as you perform your job and your duties to make sure there aren't any accidents or critical incidences throughout your career, and you work with other individuals to make sure that they hold themselves at a higher standard. That by itself, that takes a lot of self-discipline. It takes a lot of mental anguish to be able to know what your subject matter and then to be able to perform properly. And so, I wish you the best as you move forward with your career, you do your jobs, and that you, you constantly think about your capability and the responsibility back to our nation, because you are the front lines, when you're working with that ship, wherever it may be, or that submarine, wherever it may be. Those are front line duties, and you don't have to be in combat to be in a dangerous situation. You're going to be in a dangerous situation all the time because you're going to be constantly around the nuclear aspect of what's taking place. And the ship doesn't go anywhere unless the nuke system's working properly. And, you know, first thing on the front lines of the newspaper is a ship runs aground and there's a nuclear accident. You know, sure, that comes back to the captain or whatever else, but the entire crew is held accountable. And so that's why it's so important to make sure that everybody on your team is up to par and being able to do what they need to do at all given times. And that's a lot of responsibility. Sometimes that's general quarters 24/7. And I know that's like when we were in a combat zone. It was general quarters 24/7. The enemy was always there. And one of the enemies that you'll have in your position is complacency. Complacency is an enemy, yeah, because complacency kills. You don't do that added little task. You don't check mark that last thing because you didn't check that particular system. You weren't paying attention. You fell asleep for an hour on watch, but that was a critical time when something needed to be taking place. All of those things are critical in the capability of your job, the job of the Navy, the captain, the system that you're working on. And so I know I'm throwing out all these responsibilities and things like that, but those are things that are ahead of you,
yep,
and those are things that are critical and that will make you a fantastic sailor versus an average sailor. And I think that just being able to come through the Nuke School and passing that has set you in a very good path, a very good limelight to continue to move forward and to be able to do your job the best that you can do. And so thank you once again for being a part of such a critical system in our nation's Navy.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit more about you're just finishing up your phase three and getting ready to graduate. And one of the difference I was asking was what's the difference between a nuke system on a submarine or maybe on an aircraft carrier, depending upon where your duty station is going to be?
Yeah, so they train us on submarines through our schooling, but some of us go to submarines, some of us go to carrier. I myself got stationed or will be stationed on the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower, CVN 69 in Norfolk. The biggest differences between a submarine and a carrier, most of the like actual equipment and layouts are similar, but once you go to a carrier, everything will be bigger. There'll be, say, maybe two turbines on a submarine, but there's four on a carrier. It's bigger and more. And then the lingo changes a little bit, the way they call things. on submarine, they have to speak in sub-IC. So for every number, you don't say 125, you say 125. Those are probably the biggest differences. Besides that, they are very similar. They wouldn't train us on a submarine if it was going to be completely different than a carrier. But, yeah, those are probably the big ones.
So now when you're in a submarine, you're down below. I was on the USS Ohio at Point Loma. I was given a tour down there by a Master Chief when I first came back from Iraq. And they didn't take us down into new carriers. They took us down into the tube areas where the ballistic missiles were.
Yep.
And it's like, I mean, it's gigantic. It's like walking inside of a warehouse down inside those ships, the submarines. Is that how it is in a new, with all that is? It's like walking in a warehouse down in there. I mean, it's just so gigantic with everything.
So on submarines, it's the engine room is ginormous. It goes from the upper deck, so the top of the submarine, all the way to the bottom. But there's so much equipment and systems and piping, it's kind of cramped, actually. The hallways are, the passageways are thin. You have tiny little stairwells.
So it's completely different than the lower decks.
Yeah, even the upper deck of the engine room. Besides maybe by some of the switchboards, the electrical components, you have a little bit more room by them. But the actual, where I'll be spending most of my time, is pretty cramped. Walking down a passageway, you can't really fit two people next to each other. You have to squeeze past each other. And
you're about 6 foot tall?
Yep.
Yeah.
So
that'll be, you'll be wearing a hard hat down there.
Yeah. It's definitely, submarine is not a place for tall people. There are a few people that are 6'5", and they decide they want to be on a submarine, and they'll learn at first. They'll hit their head on everything,
yeah.
And then
it's all steel or iron.
As they get along, they'll figure it out and learn where everything is and when to duck their heads. But, yeah, life on a submarine is definitely compact and a little claustrophobic.
So, and now you're getting ready to go to, excuse me, the Dwight D. Eisenhower. You said that's in Norfolk?
Correct.
So then you'll be, what kind of a division will that be?
So on carriers, it works a little bit different. You have RM and RP. So there's two different divisions. You have it's a little like funny where they say is dirty pipe and clean pipe. So clean pipe is it's kind of the reactor side, or everything connected to the reactor, and then dirty pipe is considered your secondary systems. So all your steam components, your AC, distilling units, refrigeration, that's kind of what you'd be in charge of. So when you get there, you don't really get that decision.
Right.
You're going to go clean pipe or dirty pipe.
You're going to say, hey, you're over here.
So you do learn a bit about the other one, but while you're on the boat, you'll specialize in your specific division and learn those components. Because even though we're expected to know everything, they do still want us to be masters in our craft.
Absolutely.
So,
one thing about steam is it is so corrosive. After working on boiler systems on land with some of my jobs that I've had in the civilian sector, that steam, it eats just about everything. No matter how, whether it's stainless, titanium, whatever else, steam is very corrosive. Not because the water's corrosive, but because of the intensity of the heat. Yep. And the pressure against it.
Yeah, and back to what you were saying earlier about that even though, like, we're not on the front lines necessarily and not under gunfire, a big thing that they say about our job, it's inherently dangerous. Because even though there's not bullets flying overhead or fires every single day, we work on such high-energy systems that if one thing were to go on, a pipe burst, that's going to allow high-pressure steam to enter the engine room, and that's probably one of the worst casualties we can have, and you don't have a lot of time to react to that.
Chain reactions.
So that's also in prototype, is casualty responses. One of the biggest things they train us on, because they want us to respond to a specific casualty and without really thinking at all. Just be able to respond immediately.
Safety, safety, safety.
Do your immediate actions and then go back, look at the procedure and be like, okay, I did this correctly. And then after that, they'll be like, how can we correct this?
And it needs to be second nature.
Yep.
That's why training is so imperative, especially in those situations. And everybody has to know exactly what's going on. We're coming up on a break here. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Income-eligible renters impacted by COVID-19 can now get 100% of their past due rent and utility bills paid through the California COVID-19 Rent Relief Program. Landlords with tenants who haven't paid rent because of COVID-19 are eligible for 100% reimbursement too. The application is fast, your information is private, and you won't be asked about citizenship. Apply at housingiskey.com before eviction protections end on September 30th. Brought to you by the California Department of Housing and Community Development.
He's been living for the last 8 months, and it ain't about the badges on his uniform, and it ain't about the oil like they say it is in the news. You'll never hear him say it don't matter anymore, 'cause what matters most is feeling home. Gathered round the table, barely able to get through the day without thinking about him. gets mad when someone talks bad about red, white, and blue. She says they don't understand what it stands for. Said if they spend just one day on their knees in her shoes, they'd be a little more appreciative of that, I'm sure. What matters more?
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And once again, our host, our guest this morning, if I can spit it out properly, Mike Huber with the State Granite, and then also his son, Logan, who is a machinist mate nuclear third class petty officer, preparing to go to the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower in Norfolk. If I can get any of this out of my mouth, I'll be okay at all these large words and verbs and everything else here. You know, I just want to say thank you again for you being here this morning, Logan, because I know that you were a little apprehensive about coming in, talking, and you're on leave and everything. But I really think that it's so important for you to be able to share your story as you move forward in your new career in the United States Navy, and that you've just graduated from your nuclear school, which is outstanding and to be commended for. And as you move forward, you have a large amount of responsibility as you move forward. As a third class, you're going to be making second class petty officer E5 here very shortly, part of your contract. And with your advancement comes enormous amounts of responsibility. And it's not just responsibility in your job capability, it's responsibility in leadership with leading teams of individuals who are doing the same job that you are, or possibly other jobs underneath your skill as a second class petty officer. You'll be leading those teams. You'll be expected to carry on that leadership responsibility as you grow as a sailor and as you grow as a technician in your new capability. Have they sent you to any of your leadership training? Have they talked to you about your responsibilities as a petty officer as you're moving forward?
Yeah, so we've actually, through the entire NUC program, we go through a lot of leadership training. After A school, we put on E4, and about 2 weeks after we graduate from A school, we go through a week-long training for what it means to be a leader, what makes a good leader, and then just gets you the idea of like what a good leader is to you, and kind of put your own thoughts into it, not just everyone's telling you what a leader is, because everyone can interpret what a good leader is differently. But so we did about 1 week of leadership training after A school, and then they pretty much throughout the entire like pipeline, maybe not like doesn't have to be an actual leadership training, but they're always training us on the side of what it means to be a leader during our job, when just a regular class. That's pretty much the whole pipeline, just because they know as soon as we leave here, that's expected of us as soon as we get to the fleet.
Well, it doesn't matter where you're going to be located, whether you're in the the reactor room or you're someplace else located, that leadership comes in, because there's always a junior sailor that's going to be looking for leadership. There's always going to be a junior sailor that needs leadership, and having the courage to stand up and say, hey, you need to act a certain way. You need to hold yourself accountable a certain way. You need to do certain things a certain way, whether they're in your division or not. Leadership is leadership across the board. And one of the things that I would recommend as a senior chief, gone through the ranks on the CV side, is to, when you have the opportunity, is to volunteer for every extra class or school you get an opportunity to go through. The more schools that you go to, the more classes that you attend, they make you a rounded leader. They make you a rounded sailor. Doesn't matter if you're a master chief or not, you're still a sailor. So you make chief, petty officer, or whatever, you're still a sailor in the United States Navy. You just hold a higher position. And so all of those different classes that you have and the technical courses and the leadership classes that you'll get as you move forward, every one of those are pieces to a puzzle to make a picture. And that picture is your leadership skills as you go through your ranks and as you, you know, get older and you put together your skills and those things like that. And so I definitely would encourage you as you move forward to be able to attend those schools and to take them with a light heart. And know that you don't have to be there, but you're there and you're going to learn some really good things. Those are tools that go in your toolbox as a leader, and you carry those with you, and you may never use some of them. But then there might be that one time that you open that toolbox and you have that tool in your hand to be able to take care of that particular situation. And if you hadn't gone to that school, you wouldn't have that capability. And so all of those things come together to make you a well-rounded sailor, and it helps you advance. Because the ultimate goal is to someday make chief petty officer, right? Hopefully. And if you stay in long enough, I mean, because, you know, making chief puts you in a position to be able to move forward and to be a leader of more individuals. And it's tough. There's days that I love the Navy, and there's days that I love to hate the Navy. And it's tough. You have to press yourself through those times. You have to weigh out your mindset, and you have to get your priorities straight in your head as you move forward. And you can't think about today or next week. You have to think long term. Where am I going to be in a year from now? I have a 2-year contract. Where am I going to be in 2 years from this? And how you're going to be able to grow during that time frame and to excel or to supersede certain scenarios that are going to come up, and it's going to seem like that's dictating my life right now and I can't get past it. But everything has a time frame to it and everything moves forward. And the biggest thing is just hanging in there and being courageous when sometimes it's the most difficult thing to do is be courageous. And that's where that committed part comes in. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll be frank and honest with you. In my career, I relied on God a lot, especially when we were in combat. Could not make the decisions that I made by myself. I prayed to God for strength every single day because I can't do it on my own.
Absolutely.
It has to come from someplace else. And that's where our success comes from. That's where our hope comes from. And that's where our strength comes from. Because we can't do it on our own, but we know where we can go and get it. And that's through the strength of God.
Yeah,
and I don't know what your background is or anything else, but that's my personal experience. Mm-hmm. And that's what helped me get through 23 years of my career through some pretty tough times. Being at home and not going, you know, not doing duty in the United States is easy after you've been overseas and you've been shot at. So, because if nobody's trying to blow you up, and there's not an IED waiting for you, and you're not ducking bullets, everything else is a lot simpler to do, and it makes it a lot easier. But relying on that faith is what got me through those most difficult times. And so, to carry on here, I just what are some of your expectations and some of the things that you want to do as you're moving forward toward the Eisenhower?
So the biggest things for me when I get to the Eisenhower is once we get to our boats, we're given a qualification because even though we had qualified in prototype on the submarine, we now have to requalify on our new platform. So the biggest thing for me is qualifying as soon as possible. Because as soon as you qualify, you're given more responsibility. And especially when it comes to making chief, to become chief, we're required to have an engineering watch supervisor qualification. But in order to get that, we have to qualify senior in rate. Qualify senior in rate, we have to be qualified. So as long as
it's a stair-stepping process.
So if I can knock out the first one as quickly as possible, I can knock out the next one and then work on my engineering watch supervisor qualification, which is learning all three rates and having to be a master at all three. Because once you're are promoted to chief as a nuke, you're kind of taken away from, even though you keep machinist mate, you're not really looked at as a mechanic anymore.
Right.
You're expected to know everything. You can stand all watches.
You're a subject matter expert.
Yep. And there's some other things like that you can learn, not necessarily to do with your rate, but we have primary valve operators, you can qualify that. It's just a little qualification to work on primary valves. And a really cool thing about the Nuke program is that every qualification just means a better job opportunity once you get out. Our watch suit qualification, once we leave the Navy, is recognized by a lot of big corporations and companies in the civilian sector, especially like Tesla. They understand what being a Nuke is. So if you have that qualification, they'll see, okay, you know what it, like how to work, and we're going to put you in a supervisor position right away.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company, and why Megastar Financial?
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, but whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Father Rinaldi's foundation is located in Shasta and is the remains of a Catholic church that was never built. Father Rinaldi was a Catholic priest who was sent to Shasta in 1855. He had big dreams, and he was determined to build a church that would surpass any other building in the Gold Country. Plans called for a basilica to have the walls of cut stone copied after the architecture of the great Italian Renaissance buildings. He began raising money through donations. The ground was broke for the basilica in 1856, and in 1857, the cornerstone was laid by Archbishop Joseph Alamy of San Francisco. During that same year, the foundation was built. But soon after, Rinaldi was transferred to another church. The foundation is located at the corner of Crocker Alley and Red Bluff Street in Shasta. It's privately owned and is not part of the Shasta State Historic Park. Want more Dottie? Go to the Shasta Historical Society.
It happens to a mother when she is given birth. Her heart is filled with joy while her body's filled with hurt. She holds the baby close to her despite the pain he caused. When it comes to love, you don't count the cost. It happens to a soldier fighting for his home. Fear wells up inside him, and yet he still goes on. Even though he knows he may be the next to fall, when it comes to love, you don't count the cost. You don't count the heartache, you don't count the sacrifice, and all that counts is what you feel inside. It doesn't really matter is lost when it comes to love. No, you don't count the cost.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And once again, our guest this morning, machinist mate nuclear, third class petty officer, Logan Huber, and his dad, Mike Huber, with the state, Granite. And we've been talking all about your career and where you're going and what you're doing because you're active duty right now, Logan. And, you have some words that you'd like to share out there to maybe some other young individuals or parents that might have an individual, that's looking at going into the military.
Yeah. So for whether you're just coming out of high school or a little bit older now, because when I was in boot camp, I met guys that were 35 years old and just now joined the military. If you're in that situation where you don't really know what you want to do with your life, you don't think college is the right decision for you, I definitely think you should definitely look at the military, see what it has to offer. It is definitely one of the best decisions I've ever made, just because not only the job that I'm doing, but the overall responsibility and structure that it gives you. But also, if you do decide to join the military, you're making that sacrifice, so make sure you do a job that you want to do. You made that sacrifice, so don't do something that you're going to regret and hate your life while you're in the military. Get the most out of it while you're in. That's the biggest thing I say. Just if you're joining the military, make sure you do something that you'll feel rewarding.
And our military right now is all volunteer. So if it's not like people are forced to go in the military or anything else. So they are handpicking the best of the best to be able to go into the military right now. And I think that that's really critical that people know, you know, maybe back in the 70s they forced people to go in because of jail sentences or whatever else, but that is no longer the case. Our individuals, men and women, who are serving right now are choosing to serve this nation. They're choosing to serve, to go in and to do the jobs that they're doing and to be able to carry on the next generation of military personnel for our nation. And so once again, I just want to say thank you to you, Logan, for doing what you're doing. Congratulations again on your nuke school.
Thank you.
Good luck with the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower as you move forward. And I wish you well in your career as you continue to move forward and to do the best you can as you do what you do. And, Mike, we're going to step back to you and talk to you. We're going to talk a little bit more about your business here and then also talk about your CrossFit driving or your cross – is it
– Autocross.
Autocross. Well, hanging on to that steering wheel is a workout too. So
back to why I'm here is Trinity – Touring Club. We are a local autocross club, and we are having a fundraiser for the next 2 months, and all of our proceeds are be going to the organization, the California Veterans Cemetery.
Museum.
Keep doing that. And we are just honored to be able to do that. So what we want to do is promote activity, because it is open to the public. It's free to come down to watch.
Or participate.
Yeah. So, and how you're going to do that is TrinityTouringClub.com. You go on there. They give you all the websites. You can actually sign up online. It's $35 a day for 4 laps. If you want to come down and do it.
Oh, that's very reasonable.
Yeah. And that, they give you instructions. If you're new down there, we have people like myself that'll help you go out and show you what to do and find the ropes. And then once you do it a couple times, it's just a blast.
But, right.
We are doing, we have a, so this weekend we have our pre-sale for our raffle tickets, and then on the 16th of October, 17th of October, the 16th will actually be our raffle. So we have almost a month, and we have 2 racing weekends between then and then. And then all those proceeds will, we're just going to be helping out with you. But
we certainly appreciate that.
Well, we want people to come down and get involved, and it's a great, you know, just fun activity,
sure.
And, you know, and especially people just can come down and watch. But if we do have a booth, so if you donate, And, you know, raffle tickets, and we have a bunch of prizes and season passes, and Napa's giving a bunch of stuff. We have a lot of sponsors that have given a lot of stuff, so we plan on making a lot of money for you guys. So, but it is, it's just a fun passion I have to help kids and, or, you know, young people just get out and learning the skills, because we don't want to do it out there and get stupid.
Well, I tell you what, driving through Anderson, because obviously we have one of our facilities is at Anderson, and then we live in Cottonwood. There's a lot of young people out there that drive through red lights, stop signs. They're all over the road. I mean, swerving in and out of traffic to get to Walmart. It's like, are you in that big of a hurry to get to Walmart? Almost caused two accidents to get there. We just probably should have an educational program through the high school to get them out there to do that too as part of your program, because there's a lot of young people that are driving that need to have those skills get reinforced in their driving
today, you know, and just learning, but also just getting out there and having a camaraderie and putting it on the course.
Sure.
You know, if you do it out there, you're less to do it on the street.
Right. And not only that, but it's legal to do it there.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're just going to hit a cone. And if you hit a cone, it's minus a second off your time. So you just slow your time down. So it's all time attack.
Do you have motorcycles out there, too, or is it just cars?
Primarily cars. Go-karts if you have them, and then a lot of race cars that are super fast.
Oh, they bring race cars out there too, yeah.
Yeah, we have, everyone has a class, everyone has a pack score. So think about pack scores, you get a time, but it's like a handicap. So that at the end of the day, you can have a fast car, but a slow car could be a faster time because his handicap is greater than yours.
So you've got a garage hot rod, this is the chance to bring it out there and enjoy it and not worry about getting a ticket on the street because you spun the tires.
Yes. Yeah, it's just a fun time. And so we just encourage people to, come down, get involved in any way you can. And we've been, you know, the organization, I'm just a small part of it. I'm just, you know, one of the board members. But we run a really just, you know, it's a fun time to come down and get active.
So, once again, this is at Shasta Speedway, which is there, actually in the parking lot of Shasta Speedway.
Yeah.
So of the Shasta Fairgrounds.
Yes.
So in Anderson.
On the north side. So it'll be next Saturday and Sunday, and then on the 16th and 17th of October.
Why don't you give them that phone number again in case they need to call to get some more information?
Well, it's on the website. So it's trinitytouringclub.com.
Okay.
And you look at it through there, and then from there you can actually look in and schedule the dates and register, and they'll tell you exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. But we do our donations every year, and your organization is who we decided, because we wanted to give back to veterans, and that's the biggest thing is our big push right now is to help any veterans we can. So,
well, like I said, we greatly appreciate that. You know, with the COVID going on, it's been really tough to have fundraisers.
Yep.
And so when other organizations such as yourself step up and they help us in this program, our programs literally reach out and help change the lives of elderly and younger veterans in our community. And, once again, funds in, funds out. If we don't raise the money, we don't have it. It's really tough to be able, and there's been lots of times I've just reached in my own pocket and helped out veterans that were in need because we just didn't have the extra money in another account. And fortunately, I live on my Navy retirement, but, you know, we still have that capability to be able to reach out and to help individuals that are in need.
Well, thank you for everything you do, sir.
And so
that's why we're here. We want to help spread your good cause.
Well, and the biggest thing, once again, is we go all around the world helping people we don't know.
Yeah.
How important is it for us to come home and help people that we do know right here in our own community? Thank you again for being here. Good luck. Petty Officer, I'm just going to say Petty Officer Second Class, as you get ready to go back and they're going to pin a stripe on you and tack those crows on. I don't know, do they still tack crows on?
Yep.
So you get those crows tacked on and you're handed that extra responsibility. I know you'll do well. I know you come from good stock and that you'll do your best to be a good petty officer and a good sailor. And so thank you for being here today with us. I greatly appreciate that.
Thank you for having me, sir.
So, once again, you've been listening to Battlefield Expressions from the Northern California Veterans Museum. Rob Burrows signing off. Thank you for being here.
It happens all around us each and every day. Someone's giving all they got for someone else's sake. If you ever doubt it, just think about the cross. When it comes to love, you don't count the cost.
KCNR.